91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio. Hello, Tucson. We're so glad you could join us today at 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And you can hear more of our programs by going to our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. So today, our guest is a very generous and courageous woman who has been involved in many community programs, but is here today to talk about her own nonprofit, Courtney's Courage and Childhood Cancer Research. Aspen, tell us about our guest.
I sure will. Kathy Ogden was born and raised in Tucson, graduated from Catalina High School, and attended the University of Arizona. She started her career in the escrow and title insurance business, then worked for a home builder as an administrative assistant, then the Red Cross Blood Services as an account manager. She was a big sister with Big Brothers and Sisters of Tucson, actively for 12 years, and her little sister and her are still in contact. She's also volunteered with the Pima County Victim Witness Program for 5 years, responding to crisis calls and helping the victim or the victim's survivors. Her daughter, Courtney, was diagnosed at 9 months old with neuroblastoma, a pediatric solid tumor cancer that usually presents on the adrenal gland. Very sadly, she passed away at home Thanksgiving Day, 1999. Today, we're here to talk about the nonprofit Courtney's Courage, dedicated to raising funds for childhood cancer research, specifically neuroblastoma, and to assist with support services for pediatric cancer patients being treated at Banner Children's, Diamond Children's Medical Center, and their families. Welcome to our show, Kathy.
Thank you, Aspen.
You know, first of all, I just want to say how sorry I am for the loss of Courtney, because I can't even imagine that kind of pain. Kathy and I were talking before the show started. Just how does somebody deal with that kind of pain? I know it's been 25 years since she's passed and on Thanksgiving, so I was wondering how you were doing since we just had the Thanksgiving holiday. How did you get through the holidays?
Getting through the holidays each Thanksgiving has been very difficult, and I think it's something that'll be difficult the rest of my life. This year was the 25th anniversary, and what really eased it a little bit is my oldest daughter, Jenna, and her husband came in from California to spend Thanksgiving with us. So that was very, very special. Nothing will ever, replace Courtney. Nothing, that's something that we will live with forever. But being with family and friends over the holidays, it really does make a difference. So it was a little easier to get through this year.
I'm glad to hear. I didn't even think of that it's the time of year that you gather with family and friends, and that could be so supportive. Courtney was diagnosed with neuroblastoma at 9 months old. I mean, she can't even talk or tell you what's going on. How did you know something was wrong?
Well, Mother's Day, actually 1996, she woke up and was a little fussy and batting at her ear. So we had plans to go to the Elks Lodge, like we always did, for Mother's Day brunch. We drove separately because afterwards I said I was going to take her to urgent care to get her checked out, which I did. And she had a raging ear infection in her right ear. They put her on antibiotics, told us to follow up with a pediatrician, which I did. She was better, but not great. He put her on a little stronger antibiotic protocol and said, within 2 or 3 days, if she's not feeling better, give me a call and we'll get her in, which she wasn't better. She was actually starting to sleep a little bit more, which was very unusual for her. And he looked at her ears and said, this is not clearing. I think we're going to need to get her over to the hospital to give her some intravenous antibiotics to try to clear this infection. So I went down to University Medical Center, took her down there. Anyway, they did some scans just to see, and they found a tumor behind her right eye. Didn't know what it was then. That was a Thursday. And fast forward, on Friday, they did scans. Saturday, she had a day off. And on Sunday, she started chemotherapy. It was that fast.
That's what you never want to hear from your doctor. That's quite a horrific story. So, tell us about Courtney. We'd love to hear about her. What made her special? What are some of your favorite memories of her?
Courtney was always so joyful, so happy. She rarely slept. I don't know. I look back and think maybe she knew she wouldn't be here that long. I don't know. But she was always joyful, happy. The hospital, really, because she was diagnosed at 9 months old, that was really kind of her second home, which it's very sad to say that, but it was true. But she got to know, the doctors and nurses, and it was just part of her everyday life. But she was very happy. She liked to kind of be in control. She had little control over things in terms of, going to the hospital and chemo and all of that. But she loved to do the simple things. And I remember a few things. One, she enjoyed, we had to go to the post office a couple of times. And most people don't enjoy going to the post office and you grab a number. She had learned her number. She was three, so she knew her numbers. And so she would watch that little clicker go. So she was just so excited. And when she would see our number, and then she said, "It's our turn, mommy." And people in the post office would get real. It was just kind of interesting for them. I mean, obviously, she was sick. She had no hair. But those are the simple things she liked. She loved playing with Jenna. They would make forts downstairs. She would be at my mom and dad's, and they had neighbors that had kids. And one day, Courtney answered the door and told the little boy who was 2 years older, he was five, that, "I can't come out and play today because I have cancer." Kind of like, "I have a cold,
I
I
have a
can't come out and
cold.
play today." But so she knew the words. Obviously, at her age, she didn't fully understand that. She also had a little spicy attitude. The doctor came in one day while she was in bone marrow transplant, and he was standing at the foot of the bed and kind of in front of her. And she said, "Can't see, can't see. Move, Doc Graham, move, Doc Graham," because she couldn't see the TV, what she was watching. So she had no illusions of, saying things and speaking up. The social worker came in and Courtney was pretending to put on her makeup. She said, "Oh, Courtney, you don't need makeup. You're so pretty." And she says, "I know, but why don't you use some?"
Kids say the darndest
They
things.
say the darndest things. And so those are just a couple things that she would do. And back in that day, it was timeout. So the few times she would go to timeout, she got the point like, "Oh, I'm going to timeout, mommy. Don't forget to set the timer."
They
Yeah,
also
they
know how to
still.
live in the moment. They're such good teachers for us.
Absolutely. So those are just some kind of fun, silly things that I remember of her, but that's just who she was.
I know that through her treatments, there were remissions and recurrences. Did you receive any support from any organizations or support groups during Courtney's illness?
There was one, Candlelighters of Southern Arizona. I received a visit from Beverly Tidwell. She and I are still in contact. They're another cancer organization here. But in terms of any services or meetings or support, there wasn't anything like that when Courtney was under treatment. The social workers at the hospital would hook you up with social services. We did not qualify for that. And we were very, very fortunate. I had to quit my job, but we were able to keep our house, and you just get very creative paying bills. There really weren't any support services that, were available, financial or emotional support.
I'm sure that's what inspired you to start your nonprofit. What gap did you notice in support for children with cancer that you wanted to address?
The children themselves, to give them little things at the hospital to kind of keep them entertained. The hospital, they provide the medical treatment. And yes, they had some coloring books and they had a few things. There was just a need for little extra things for them to play with in clinic. The other thing, when we were in clinic, they didn't have any refrigerators or microwaves. So when you spend the day in clinic, you could be there from 7 to 4. There was a need like for refrigerators, microwaves, things that we just paid attention to that were needed. So when we started the organization, the nonprofit, that came shortly thereafter that we started doing things that would help kind of the whole family too.
I know you have several programs, and it ranges from financial assistance to teen and young adult support, holiday adopt-a-family, and so much more. Can you tell us about the programs or services your organization provides?
Absolutely. We have Courtney's Packs, which is an admission bag that we fill with items specific to that child, what they enjoy playing with and doing. Gifts are selected for the individual child. We then added a sibling pack because siblings often feel so left out. The parents are so busy with the child. Often grandparents, aunts, uncles step in, and those relationships change because it used to be the fun grandparents that you go to the house and you get spoiled and you do. And then it becomes they are the a lot of times the primary caregivers during the day when the patient is at the hospital. So we give a pack to them also, which makes them feel part of the whole plan. Financial assistance, that has been huge from day one. That is the biggest one we have. We help with rent, utilities, gas, groceries, bills for a cell phone. One of the dads, he was an over-the-road truck driver. he needed to be in contact with his family. They didn't have the money to have that. So we took care of that bill for them. Another real big program that we have that's very popular is our Mom's Dinner Out. You get to know families in the hospital. You see them. You don't really know them, let's say that, but you see them in the hospital. But you're there with your child, and if they're not feeling well, you're not out in the halls really socializing. But taking 6 to 7 moms out for dinner every 2 months, they get to know each other. They get to know their children. It's a time for them just to sit down, relax. They're out of the house with a child. They're out of the hospital. They have a couple of hours just to sit, relax, talk to other moms, and moms understand, and they're talking to people that truly understand what they're going through.
Yeah, that
Even
kind of support and community is so important. Often,
yeah.
I would assume that a lot of people feel very isolated when they're going through something like this. They don't want to talk about it with other people who are not going through it because they won't understand or they don't want to bring them down. So to have other people going through the same situation seems, I mean, it just gave me the chills thinking about what that might be for somebody.
Well,
Yeah.
and the social workers have reported to us too that they see now the moms that are at the dinners when they're in clinic or at the hospital, they're talking. And even some of the groups, they even have like a private Facebook page that they can join, just to talk to some of these moms. So that was a real big program, or is still a very big program. The teen and young adult support group, as a teenagers, that's a tough age for any child, any teen going through. So you're kind of becoming independent, and then all of a sudden with a diagnosis, you are very dependent. So that's a real tough role for those kids. So again, for the teens and young adults getting together and sharing their trials and things that they're dealing with, and they meet once a month. It's
Yeah.
wonderful.
I mean, social media is a big change from when you went through this. So I guess people do have outreach that way too.
Yes, they do. And they
Yeah.
also have outreach. They can find some information, not that you want to be Dr. Google, but they have things that we didn't have. And then find,
Exactly. So how
right.
do you get the fundings to sustain these programs? Are you able to get grants or sponsorships? I suppose you do fundraising events.
We do. Our two fundraising events are an annual golf tournament, which we in August had our 25th annual golf tournament. It started out in 99 as a one-time thing, and we just kept going. And next thing we knew, here we are at 25 years. We also, the last 4 years, have had a team in the El Tour de Tucson raising funds for Courtney's Courage. So we just had that last month in November. So those are our two events, big events. But we also have gotten grants. We rely on grants. We've had them from Angel Charity. We actually had two of those. Oh, the Foothills Club of Tucson. We've had the Centurions, the 100 Plus Women Who Care, Family Foundations. And these amounts range from $1,500 to $25,000. I'll tell you, Tucson is a very generous community, but we have to rely on that in addition to our funding. Just to kind of give you a perspective, our annual budget is about $100,000 a year. We have no paid staff. So 96 cents of every dollar goes to our support services and research for childhood cancer. Without these people helping and individual family foundations, and without people reaching out and saying, I'll be happy to put you in contact with this organization or this person that may be able to help you, that's what we rely on tremendously. A lot of the big corporations through the years, they're no longer local. They were owned locally, then they're purchased by a larger entity. So a lot of the funding for local charities really isn't as much as it used to be, I don't think. We've lost some sponsors, not because of anything that we did, but because they don't longer have the say locally. So what we do, we really raise funds locally. Yes, some of the family foundations are based out of another state, but it's tied to Tucson. And then we put all of our research money to the Steele Children's Research Center here at the University of Arizona.
How do people who are going through this, like how do families who are going through a similar situation, have a child who's going through cancer, know about your organization? How do they find out about you?
They find out about us through the social workers at the hospital, the pediatric social workers. There are two full-time and one part-time. The first thing, their introduction to us, is they give the family a form, talks about us and what we want to do this Courtney pack for their child and for the siblings. That's their first introduction to us. And then the social workers vet the families and they contact us for families that need help, with their rent, utilities, if they need gas. The needs are unbelievable, from diapers to thermometers. It's tough. That's how they know about us, and that's how they continue to work with them through the
That's
treatment.
great that you have that way of getting to people through
Yes.
the social workers. It's time for a music break, but when we come back, I'm kind of interested in some of the research that's going on and how your program is organized and how it exists. So let's go for this music break and we'll come back and talk some more.
Thank you.
And the song that you have chosen, Kathy, is called Ronan from the album Red, which is by Taylor Swift. Do you want to tell us why you chose this song?
I met Ronan's parents after Courtney had passed away, and actually after Ronan had passed away, at an event in Phoenix. Both of our children, died at age 4. Courtney battled longer than Ronan did. I've gotten to know them quite well. And the words in the song that Taylor Swift did for him resonate even with me and other cancer parents. I've, shared the song with others who have lost a child. And it just resonates because you can almost put your child in. It's just, I think it's far-reaching. It's a beautiful song. It's a sad song, obviously, but it just kind of encompasses kind of child loss to cancer.
It certainly does. And there's such an interesting story behind it. How did Taylor Swift end up writing a song about this little boy? And Taylor's fans know that her song Ronan is one of her most heartbreaking, really. The emotional track is about a real boy, as you said, Ronan Thompson, who also died of neuroblastoma cancer just days before his 4th birthday. And Ronan's mother, Maya, kept a blog throughout his cancer treatment, and Taylor was a devoted reader of the blog. And she invited Maya, the mom, to a concert in 2011 and talked to her about Ronan. And then later, Taylor called her up and said, "I wrote a song for Ronan." And she wanted to perform the song during the 2012 Stand Up to Cancer TV benefit, release the track as a charity single, and credit Maya as co-writer on the song. And Maya said she talked about how reading this blog and following our story has inspired her, and how amazing she thinks all I am doing is to bring awareness to childhood cancer. And since then, Maya also started the Ronan Thompson Foundation in her son's memory. So both of you have taken a tragic circumstance and made something positive out of it. Let's listen to the song Ronan by Taylor Swift from her album Red. Wow, that's such a touching song. It took me 3 tries and a box of Kleenex to get it through the first time, but it's so beautiful. This is 91.3 KXCI Tucson. You're listening to Broad Perspectives Radio, and we are returning to our interview with Kathy Ogden.
I'll have to admit, I have become a Taylor Swift fan this year. I know it's important for you to do research for this cancer, and I'm particularly interested in the research with Dr. Emmanuel Katsanis, because I know where there's research, there's hope. What's going on with the research? Have they found any advancements in ways that they can treat this, and what are they focusing on?
They kind of have multi-focuses right now. I can share with you the last few years what they have come up with. So they are working on better treatments that are less toxic than what we have right now. Many of the drugs we've had for 30 years and more, and they're harsh. To be honest with you, chemotherapy is very, very harsh. They're working on to develop new cell therapies against pediatric cancers. Then when you have a bone marrow transplant, after the transplant, you can have skin issues, you can have stomach issues. It's huge. When you have a bone marrow transplant, the cancer sometimes goes away, but then you have to deal with the long-lasting results. They're working on different ways, trying to decrease the issues with that. They're also studying a cancer vaccine platform to keep them from reproducing. They're currently using exercise to improve immune responses and immune therapies against cancers. Obviously, a child isn't going to get on a treadmill. You're not feeling well, you can't do that. But to give medications during that, so there are medications that can stimulate the exercise, get through the system in a better way, kind of keep the cancer at bay. One thing they're working on the last number of years is with a bone marrow transplant, having one of the parents or one of their siblings be the donor for the bone marrow transplant, as opposed to trying to find a match outside the family. Very rarely do you get an entire match, but you have a much better chance with a parent or a biological sibling.
Okay, I hope that they find something soon. Some of the cancers that are out there are just so rare, they don't even have the ability to do the research. So I'm glad that they're able to do some research with this one. I know it takes a lot of kind folks to run a program like this. It must be run by volunteers. Can you talk to us about how many people it takes and what are some of the things they're doing, and if you still need volunteers and how somebody could sign up to do that?
Currently, we have 8 board members. I'm not on the board anymore. I stepped back a couple of years ago from the day-to-day operation, but I am now the ambassador and I do some special projects. So it takes 8 board members plus me to run this organization. They're so dedicated. We've had a couple people that have been there for 20 years or more. We have a couple newer people on the board. And basically, we run the golf tournament and the El Tour de Tucson. The responsibility of the board also is to go out and find sponsors. We go out and find raffle gifts for these events. The few of us have spoken at community meetings, business meetings, and organizations that want to come and help Courtney's Courage and the cancer families. So that's one thing, the outreach that we do. It's so important because it's not easy. It's hard. It's getting harder, honestly, every year to recruit sponsors for our events. But we just keep moving forward. We would love to have people join us that have a passion for childhood cancer, either having been affected by it, they know someone that has been through it, or just there are so many good-hearted people here in Tucson, just someone that would be willing, maybe trying to find some grants, helping us get some raffle presents, get some sponsors for our golf tournament and the L Tour. So there are those opportunities that we have. We're trying to get people kind of through the everyday, helping with rent, utilities, gas, groceries, dealing with the immediate. But there aren't a lot of events that we have where we need a lot of volunteers. But we always need volunteers at the golf tournament, the day of the event. We need volunteers to help out while we're doing our El Tour practice rides, help that we could absolutely use from people in our community.
What do you think it's important for others to understand about losing a child to cancer?
It's something that I don't think any cancer parent would expect any other parent or family to know about unless you've actually gone through it. What I would say is give the parents an opportunity to talk about their child. Everyone's grief is different. Some people are very vocal. Some people are very private and quiet. Some people just want to close that chapter and move on. They don't want any kind of reminders. But talk about their child. Use their name, say their name. I can't tell you how important that is. Parents want their children to be remembered. People have asked me, you've been through it. What's the right thing to say? Honestly, Aspen, there isn't any right thing to say. There are a number of wrong things to say.
Right.
But in terms of right things, I'm so sorry. And to say, yes, please let me know if I can do something. The other thing is just jump in there. Take their other children with your kids to go on little adventures. Take pizza into their house. Do little things like that. They often won't ask.
Thank you for that, because it's so hard to know how to support grieving parents and rest of the family in meaningful ways. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain to us what Courtney's Courage is, for sharing about Courtney. She sounded wonderful. And for all the work that you do, what an angel you and all your volunteers are. Having had cancer, I understand the lacks in what happens in medical care and in personal care when you're going through this. So I really, really appreciate what you do for other people who are going through this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
That unfortunately is all the time we have for today. But Kathy Ogden, thank you so much for talking with us today about your daughter, Courtney, and the nonprofit you named in her honor, Courtney's Courage. Your organization helps so many children with cancer and their families during a tragic time. We're all very grateful for your work in our community. You are a true hero. And thanks to all of you out there. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you've been listening to Broad Perspectives Radio. You can hear more of our programs at kxci.org. But for now, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.